This podcast is brought to you by Wealth Within, a global leader in stock market education. For more information on our courses, head over to wealthwithin.com.au. Please note that the information in this podcast should not be considered personal financial advice. Enjoy.
Welcome to the Talking Wealth podcast. You're on with Phil and Pedro. Now, today we have a very interesting podcast for you. If I want to start it off by saying, if you could choose the perfect age to start trading, what would it be? Would you start at 18 when you're young, sharp, and have decades ahead of you? Would you wait until 30 when you've actually got some money and life experience? Or could you do it in your 40s or even 50s? Could they be the sweet spot? Now, there is some fascinating research around age investing and financial decision making, which we're going to dive into, and we're going to find the give you the exact age that all this research comes, and not only dive into the age of the best time to start trading. We're also going to dive into by accident we uncovered in this process what type of style at what age really helps give you the best chance of success. So today we're looking at the numbers. Pedro, welcome. How are you, mate?
G'day, Phil. Look, can I choose age of 18, but knowing what I know now? Is that an option?
Well, if you've got a time machine, then yeah, mate, by all means, go for it. But
that would be ideal.
I think what the word for what you're saying there is hindsight. Don't we all wish we have hindsight in our...
Oh, yeah. If I could grab 18-year-old Pedro, grab him by the neck and say, mate, I've got something to show you. Get your head out of the gutter.
Yeah. And the thing is, I mean, I started, you know, this looking at, I came to Wealth Within, you know, 20 years ago now, pretty much. So for me, it's like I started... I'm on this experiment, and we dive into the numbers. I'm that 18-year-old that is a thing, and I can talk from experience about what I was as an 18-year-old, or how I thought about money, how I thought about trading, to how I think about it now. Is there's two different human beings. I think it's a good podcast because I can at least talk to living through this experience somewhat, living through it, and yeah. And so it'd be interesting, yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, I had a bit of a financial awakening myself at 18. You know, I was in debt quite heavily. And then that's where I got, you know, try to get out of that debt. And I took different avenues. Eventually, I chose property. So I did take a different route for many years. And my trading journey started a little bit later. Yeah, I think it was in my late 20s where I still really started to get into the trading. But yeah, I took that route, property, but still wanting to learn about financial literacy, which was good. And I think that's probably a different subject though, right? If you're talking about learning financial literacy, that should definitely start, I would say, high school even. But trading in particular is what we're going to talk about, right?
Yeah, and we're also going to cover that. I mean, it's an important point. We are going to cover the financial literacy side of things, but I mean, you know, even, you know, you starting in your late 20s, you're 50 now, so you've got a good 30 years experience.
Thanks, mate. Age me about 15 years, but, you know.
No, I'm just kidding. You're a young man. All right, let's get into it. Now, I want to start with an experiment and just to, you know, really get people thinking about this. Now, take $10,000 and assume purely hypothetical reasons that it compounds at 8% annually with no additional contributions, because that's really what's sold to you by a lot of passive type investors, especially super funds, saying, well, you know, your money compounds at an X amount per year annually, so just leave your money in the market. Don't try to get in and don't try to get out. Let it sit there and you will have X amount of money by the end. And that is all good and well in theory until you're the poor bugger that has to retire in 07 or you know, that don't really tell you about what's possible if you could actually not ride the downturns and only participate in the upside. And for someone looking at that saying, well, yeah, that's a perfect scenario. And the answer is, even if you weren't perfect in that pursuit, even if you didn't, you know, stay out of every downturn, if you stayed out of most, and if you think that's impossible to do, well, all you need is a chart and some of our skill sets that we teach, and you'll see with your own eyes that it's very, very possible. You look at compounding differently. But anyway, let's go to this experiment. You're 18 and you've got until 65. So if you invested that 10 grand at 18 and you leave it until 65 years old, you have about $373,000 at 8% a year. If you start at 25, you got about 217 grand. If you start at 35, that you have about 100,000. If you start at 45, a third of it. If you start at 45, you have about 47,000. You start at 55, obviously 21,000. Same starting capital, same hypothetical return, only variable is time. So if we're asking what's the best age to start investing, if you're talking about theory compounding, it's hard to argue that as early as possible is better, right?
Yeah, in a perfect world, in a linear world, right?
But that's investing. Trading is very different. Mm-hmm. And if you're an 18-year-old, for example, that has massive advantage when it comes to compounding, but that massive advantage in compounding could also be the exact massive disadvantage when it comes to experience, behavior, and decision making. Because as a trader, they're the three things you need to be successful. And this is where this research that I did becomes very interesting. So basically, there was a major paper called The Age of Reason, Financial Decisions Over the Life Cycle, which examined the financial behavior across 10 different credit markets. Now, what researchers found was this U-shaped relationship between age and financial mistakes. So young adults made more mistakes, older adults made more mistakes, and in the middle, there was a sweet spot. Now, the age at which fees and interest payments were minimized was approximately 53 years old. So this paper basically proposed an explanation saying you effectively have two forces moving in opposite directions. The first force is experience, which generally increases as your age goes up. You've made decisions, you've made mistakes, you've seen different economic conditions, which is a big one. You've hopefully accumulated financial knowledge. But going against that force is the cognitive performance force. So certain cognitive abilities eventually deteriorate with age. So imagine those two lines crossing. When you're 20, you have high raw cognitive ability, low experience. At 40, you've got high cognitive ability, which I'm not so sure about that because I'm having to start to wear glasses at 40. So I don't know about my cognitive ability with my eyes, but
Of course. And also there's chosen cognitive ability. There's some things that you're more cognitive to than others, I would say, as you get older.
I thought you were going somewhere else with this in terms of physical performance.
Not talking about the blue pills either, no.
I thought that's exactly where you were going with this, but I'm glad you weren't. All right, yes. So at 40, obviously, your cognitive ability for most people is still there. I mean, the brain's as sharp as ever, but you've got much, much greater experience. Now, this is where the study became interesting. Around your 50s, you have very high accumulated experience, while the cognitive ability can still be strong. Now, eventually experience remains high, but you get decline from age-related cognitive decline. And so the researchers argued that the interaction between experience and cognitive performance could help explain why financial outcomes followed this path. Now, it's important to note that this study wasn't studying traders specifically. It examined financial decisions, including borrowing. So, you know, we're not saying traders peak at 53 or the best time to be a trader is 53. We're saying one major life cycle study found financial mistakes were minimized around the age of 53. So it's very fascinating because, you know, could a trader actually become better through their 30s, 40s, and be the best version physically to become a trader at 50s. Is that the right age? Because really, when you talk about trading, it's a major part of it is mistakes, minimizing mistakes.
The scars and experience that you've got that you've carried through and that you remember.
Are you sound? Are you more? I know personally and even physically, a 20-year-old, the amount of testosterone pumping through their body, you look at the world very differently than you do at 40 50. It's just two different speeds operating at life. And then when you attack that to the market, I know personally today, the version of me today is a much better market participant. If you took away all the knowledge and you took away all the experience and all that stuff, and you just, from purely the way physically, the calmness, the patience, all of that stuff compared to 20, I would much rather take this version physically to the market than the 20-year-old version. And it's not to say that trading at 20, there's no chance for you, because I did. So it's not to say that, but with everything known, maybe this is a good lesson for those young guys to go, hang on a second, this is some good information. I'm looking at almost a time machine forward about the skills that these studies show are the best skills to have for the greatest chance of success. And if I don't have those traits right now in my 20s, if I'm completely opposite and it's not working for me, well, maybe I need to rethink me and how I'm attacking things. Maybe I need to slow down. Maybe I need to, not pump the pre-workout before I jump on the computer or
Yeah, that's not a good idea. You'll be shaking the mouse around quite a bit. I would actually also carry that a little bit backwards. And what I mean by that is that, we say that experience increases with time and so on. And of course, you get more careful, you get more disciplined, and you actually become more constrained in the market. But I would also add that you can actually learn from your younger self as well. Because what I've noticed, speaking to many students, in different age groups and even observing myself, my risk tolerance has become a little bit lower. Whereas, back in the days, your risk tolerance, you're like, mate, I'm going to go all in, but you don't have the experience. But now that you do have the experience and you can go all in, you don't, because your risk tolerance has declined. So I would say to everybody, understand your level of experience and use that, but also remember your young self. Remember that person that was like, you know what, let's risk it. Let's risk a little bit, because it does take risk to be in the market.
I think that's one of the best things you've ever said, because it honestly, it's so true. Because you get scarred with age, just by life. I mean, naturally, you become less. And you got to think about all aspects of like in your 20s, if someone offers you something that looks like a Panadol in a nightclub, you'd very without hesitation, have the medicine and have a great time for the next 20 hours. But these days you're 40 and you've got a headache and you don't want to mix a Nurofen and a Panadol because you might, the packet says it's no good. So I get your point. It's a huge point to make, because now you've got all the skill, you've got all the, you've prepared the F1 car ready to operate at its full potential, full speed, and you didn't decide. Because of life, you drive it only at 60 k's an hour, and true. It's true. And I mean, that leads in very well to the next point, which is, this other idea that, and it comes from longitudinal research, from recent longitudinal research using German adult skills data, which found average cognitive skills can continue improving well into adulthood. So this is another piece of research that I went over. It said average literacy improved into roughly the 40s, so 40-year-olds, while numeracy showed stronger declines later, and people who regularly use their cognitive skills performed substantially better as they aged. Now, that is interesting.
Wow.
This is very interesting as we're heading into the age of AI, where we're, I mean, we are using our brain to some degree. I think we're using our brain a lot more by thinking. You know, the thought part of our brain is I think, on another level. With AI, it forces you to think and ask good questions and try to get answers. Curiosity is increasing, which is awesome. Curiosity, I think, is one of the most important things for humans, for the evolution of humans. And but on the other hand, all the other elements are being done by the AI. So, you know, calculating and reading and all that stuff, it's like we can just get summaries now. So it's important for traders because, you know, trading is not a 100-meter sprint. You're using things like pattern recognition, probability, memory, risk assessment, emotional control, and all the accumulated experience that you have. So some of those abilities will decline with age. Others will benefit you enormously from experience. So the question is, would you rather give $100,000 to an incredibly intelligent 20-year-old who's traded for 6 months, or a switched-on 45-year-old who's experienced the GFC, COVID, inflation, rate cycles, bull markets, and bear markets? So,
well, we've got a good example of that recently with this situational awareness guy, 24-year-old.
You got to say it right. It's not situational awareness. It's non-situational awareness. That's
right. Yes.
That's what's going on there.
Oh, he forgot that part. That's why he messed up.
He did. He forgot to understand the situation he was walking into. Mate, this ain't your AI research paper with your robots, and you're coming into the big boys' world of volatility, of putting your money on the line, and different bulls live around here. They ain't just your my research paper says this, so it's got to be that. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, the market says otherwise.
Let's see when the big funds sniff out how leveraged you are and go, oh, thank you, buddy.
Yeah, and that bull came with the name of Mr. Ken Griffith. Yeah. I think he sniffed blood and took him out.
Yep, exactly. So I think the bigger question now, given we've asked that, is raw intelligence isn't necessarily market intelligence. And, from what we saw from Leopold, I think the big question is, does experience actually make you better? Now, we have to be careful here because there is research showing that investors can learn from experience, no doubt. An article, Nicolosi, Peng, and Zhu, which was an article, they examined individual investors and found evidence consistent with learning. Investors whose previous decision demonstrated greater ability subsequently tended to achieve greater trade profitability. So, another a major paper called Learning by Trading found something much more nuanced. Now, in this paper, researchers followed individual investors' records over 9 years. They found two forms of learning. Some investors genuinely improved, but others learned by discovering that they weren't particularly good at trading and stopped trading. So it's really, really important because when researchers only examine traders who survive, it can look like everyone gradually improves, but they don't. Some improve, some disappear. And the authors concluded that ignoring investors who can quit significantly exaggerates how quickly traders appear to learn. It's just like the employment numbers. The employment numbers look much better sometimes, not because everyone's employed, it's because people stop looking for work.
Yeah. So in this case, it's traders falling off.
Yeah. And so this is the big, I mean, this is a good discussion point, I guess. 10 years of trading experience and 1 year of experience repeated 10 times.
It's like what Bruce Lee says, practice one kick 1,000 times or practice 1,000 kicks one time.
Especially if you're practicing it wrong. So simply participating in markets, I think the point is it doesn't guarantee you improvement. So for their experience to be valuable, something's got to change.
Mm.
And so strategy, risk management, position sizing, trade selection, psychology, or an understanding of the market. So what it's basically saying is, just because you spent 10 years in the market does not make you, that experience that you've had doesn't necessarily mean that it's the right experience that's going to make you a better trader.
Yeah.
Because you could be doing all the wrong things for 10 years, or you could be in a bull market for 10 years, or you could be doing something that really you're getting by the conditions that you're in more so than the strategy or the skill set that you have. And you misdiagnose that for you doing the right thing, and then all of a sudden you get walloped.
Yeah. I mean, I liken it to those guys that you see at the gym where you see them once and then 5 years later you see them again and they're looking exactly the same. I mean, they've been consistent going to the gym. They've just been doing the wrong exercises. Maybe they haven't been eating well. They haven't been sleeping well. There's so many different factors that you have to join together to actually get the results, that just time in the gym, yeah, they're spending 2 hours in there. They're puffed out by the end of it. But at the end of the day, they're not progressing to where they want to go. So I think it's the same with the trader.
Yeah. And now we're going to get into something controversial. This is going to ruffle a few feathers, I think. This is the part, and this is a part of the research that came to us, and it came to me as we were doing this, but it was a little bit left field, but I thought I have to include it in this podcast. And it's day trading. It's a day trading myth, which is the most popular form of trading that is known out there. Everybody wants to be a day trader. They want to be in and out in that, you know, session or day or 10 minutes or hour. And I want to share some statistics on this, because at Wealth Within, we always promote that you should let the market work for you. And for the market to work for you, to ride trends, to really be able to understand and measure price, read price like a language, you need to zoom out and have a look at the bigger picture and allow time to be your friend. I'm not saying that you buy and hold at all, but definitely this whole day trading push that has been given to our market or to people over the last 20 years, that this study that I'm about to uncover will show you some real statistics on what it has been for people and who's actually really winning. And we know that brokers are the biggest winners, because obviously you keep pushing that button every day, more commission, that is in their interest. But in terms of the success of it, well, listen to this. So the question, I guess, relating to what we're talking about is, what's the best age to become a day trader? And there was a massive study that looked at day traders on the Taiwan, given where you are there, buddy,
on
the Taiwan Stock Exchange between 1992 and 2006. Now, the researchers found enormous differences in skill. The very best traders showed persistence in their performance, but here's the killer statistic. Now, I don't know if you want to drum roll this for me or I need to do it myself. Yep.
That was a
terrible effort at a drum roll. But
that's
anyway,
all I got, mate.
less than 1% of day traders were able to predictably and reliably earn positive abnormal returns after fees. Okay. And after fees is the important part, because the more you churn, the smaller, the lower the amount of profit you're going for in the day, which it has to be small, because in a day, you're probably chasing such a small percentage of volatility relative to a week, relative to a month. And the fees don't change. And so they're much higher when you're chasing such a smaller amount. And I've also experienced this type of stuff when trying to trade really, really short term, in that, in that oftentimes I would trade and, you know, in the day do a number of trades and go, okay, you know, 4 or 5 winning trades in the day, beautiful, money made. And then you go and look at the, and you throw in, obviously there were a few losing trades in there too, but net was 4 or 5, you know, positive. And you go and look at the end of the thing at the end of the day, and for all the trades that were done, if it was 10 or 15, whatever the number was, the profit was chewed up in commission. And it's like, yep. Damn, I was profitable on what I did, but I gave it all back to commission. And so I've experienced
and consistency is very hard. You know, my experience with that is that, you know, one day I'll be profitable, next day may not be. And if you're less profitable the next day and you lose what you had the day before plus some, then you're at a loss, and then you got to try and do it again. So you're going to try to be a day trader, and this is what people think. They sit down in front of their computer and they get to work 8 hours a day from a certain time, and they can generate money. I mean, but you have to do that consistently. When you have a job, you'll get paid. If you do your job properly, you'll get paid 100%. You've got 100% chance of getting paid if you do your job, that is. With trading, that's not the case. There's no 100% chance you're going to get paid. And you're doing that consistently every single day, 5 days a week. I mean, and 97% chance, I'm looking at it here, 97% lost money. Do you really want to play in that field? That's something where the odds are stacked against you. You're saying that you're going to be that 3%. I mean, of course, everybody tries it. When, you know, I've tried it, you've tried it. For me, short-term trading isn't day trading now. It's a different thing. It's days, it's weeks. You know, could go into the month category, but that's what short-term trading is, and that's what I've found is the most profitable.
Yeah. And so, you know, going off what you said, that 97%, I mean, there was another study on the Brazilian futures, and researchers observed all individuals who began day trading Brazilian equity futures between 2013 and 2015. Now, among those who persisted for more than 300 trading days, so that's people who went for a year, 97% of them lost money. Only 1.1% earned more than the Brazil's minimum wage, and only around 0.5 earned more than the starting salary of a bank teller, according to the final paper abstract. So you've got to think, all that effort, all that work, all that stress to get minimum wage. And, you know, think about what that means. So these people weren't people who tried trading for 2 weeks. These people were people that went for a year. Now, we don't know their level of skill or their level of knowledge. That's another thing that really needs to be addressed in these studies. But for people that go, oh, you just need more screen time and it'll work for you, that doesn't add up. Mm. And this creates an important distinction for anyone starting young. So the reality is, if you're young, you will have an advantage, but it has to be done right. So if you're 18 and you go, I'm just going to sit in front of the computer, I'm going to watch a few YouTube videos and I'm going to work it out. Unfortunately, that ain't going to be the way, because if you need to spend those years learning properly, there's a difference between learning and learning properly. Mm-hmm. And there's a different set of lens that somebody who starts from nothing or somebody who has education, how they can dissect information. So, I mean, I know, you know, I hear it all the time with people that after they've done our diploma, that they say, now I can look at a YouTube video or I can look at information, but I look at it from a completely different context or lens. And I say, yeah, because you have a base, you have a reference point, you have knowledge to then understand what this piece of information is and whether it's right, whether it's useful, whatnot. But if you are someone who, and most people do this, wants to start trading, especially the young ones, because they still, you know, live at home, got access to a computer these days. It's the hot thing with all their friends. It's, you know, crypto. It's all the YouTube videos, finfluencers, and they just go home, watch a few, you know, YouTube lives or watch someone trade or whatever, you know, this guy, that guy. And they get bad habits from the beginning. They learn wrong things, or they get so much information, they're constantly shifting and not looking at anything from a level of understanding. That alone, you could spend the next 10 years going down the wrong path, and that is not education. You won't be elite by 28 if you do that for 10 years. Because what you learn, you need to learn properly.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you need to go through that apprenticeship. And you need to know the jargon. You need to know who the participants are. You need to know how to read a chart. I mean, not everybody, they may think that they know how to read a chart, but you know, from the stuff that we teach, how we go into short-term bar analysis, what the opens, what the closes means, what, how to use volume with the charts. There's so many layers and it needs to follow that path. That's what I really like about what we teach, is that it's layers upon layers. First, you know how to read a chart, then you add on more components to that, and then we teach you how to trade on the chart.
Yeah, and I'm not going to go into it. Yeah, you're right, 100% right. I think the biggest thing for all of that is not only the information, and I won't start on this point because this is not a sales ad, but the content itself, it has been rigorously put to the test. That's why it is in a diploma form. That's why it is government accredited. Think about that. You can't just get something that's government accredited by putting up willy-nilly information. It needs to be checked. It needs to be sound in
compliant.
Logic.
Compliant. Yeah.
Compliant. I remember doing so many compliant things saying, okay, what does this data mean for competence? What does this information, how can you prove that this does this? And so it's like what you're getting has been put through the ringer in terms of information. That's how you know it's worth something. But let's move on, because I want to get back to the point of the problem with starting very young. Now, there's another study. I'm full of studies today, right? But obviously, younger people, they've got big advantages in terms of time, adaptability, as you said, energy, technology, and the ability to recover financially. So you can cop a few batterings when you're younger much easier than older. And that's, I think, going back to your point as well, why taking risk is something that you tend to lose as you get older. But in that, they also have the biggest tendency to and the greatest appetite for financial risk. So there was a 2026 meta-analysis of research into aging and financial risk-taking, which found that survey and lottery studies generally support the relationship between increasing age and greater risk aversion, going to your point.
Oh, there you go.
Although the exact relationship varies depending on how risk preference is measured. So here's the paradox. The young person has the greatest capacity to take long-term investment risk, but can also be attracted to forms of short-term risk capable of destroying their capital. And these are completely different things. Putting your money into a diversified equity portfolio at 20 and accepting volatility, or putting your entire account into a leveraged trade because somebody on TikTok said it's going to the moon.
That's the one.
So,
yes.
Young investors can afford. that's what it is. That's what it is.
That's what I see all the time.
So they can afford volatility the younger you are, but they can't afford repeated ruin because they fall into those habits. And by the time they get to the older age, to the 53, which is here given as research the right age, they've come in with so many bad habits. They've come in being beaten up by the market, and they've not walked in as a better version of themselves. In fact, they've got all the wrong experiences. If they haven't learned from them, it's not going to serve them well later in life just because they've been in the market. You got to ask the other end of the coin, which is, are you ever too old to start? Like, can someone be too old to start trading? And the data says there isn't a clean cutoff, but, there is evidence that age eventually affects investment skills. So there was these guys called Cornutis and Kumar, which examined an older individual investors and found something fascinating. I think this was a podcast of theirs. They found older investors tend to possess greater risk investment knowledge and experience. That's the positive. But the way they were less effective at applying that knowledge. So the researchers concluded that the negative effects associated with cognitive aging eventually dominated the benefits of additional experience. This is a very different argument from saying old people can't trade. The evidence doesn't say that at all. A mentally active, experienced 7-year-old could obviously outperform an inexperienced 25-year-old. What the research is suggesting is that on average, experience doesn't indefinitely compensate for every effect associated with aging. And so, again, it's going back to how have you got to that point? How have you learned? That's what it is. The age is as not as relevant as to the time you spend doing it right from the beginning. you know, going back to that martial arts analogy, you can, you know, throw a jab for 10 years, but if you started off by learning that jab wrong, you've thrown the wrong jab for 10 years. Doesn't mean your jab's going to get better. You're just going to be really good at throwing the wrong jab. And then you walk in against somebody that has the correct technique, they're going to slaughter you.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. And if you're not used to taking hits, when you do take that hit, I mean, it's going to hurt. And also next time that somebody throws a punch, you're going to flinch. So it's the same with the market. You have to learn how to take those hits and keep going. It's like that. Have you seen that Sylvester Stallone short from Rocky IV?
Of course.
How many times you can? Is how many times you can get hit and keep going, something like that.
That's how he said. That's how winning is done. That's right.
That's how winning is done.
But that's right. That's the market. That's how you learn. You learn by your mistake. If you're young and you have a base in the right knowledge, you can then assess a situation where you lose and go, well, hang on a second. Let me, through the right framework, look at that scenario and go, okay, what happened there? How can I, through the right framework, work out, was this something that I can fix? And then fix with the right framework and the right tools. That is such a powerful thing, because you're going to have to go through that as a young guy. You're going to have to learn. You're going to have blips. You're going to have to fix them. But use those blips as an opportunity. What they're telling you is that, hey, there's a hole in what you're doing. Here's a chance. I've shown you where there's a hole. Plug it. Fix it. Happens again. You've either repeated the same mistake or it's a new one. If it's a new one, there's another hole in your process or your system or your model, something you had to learn. Go and fix it. Oh, you've never been through a 4-year cycle crash? Okay, here you go. Learn it. That happens. If you didn't expect it to ever happen, that happens. Now you know for next time. Boom. And you accumulate all this. And as long as you keep it and keep refining it into what you're doing, that is how you get hit and keep moving forward. That's really how it goes. But I guess just to finish off, you know, what's the best age for each style, really, to summarize everything? So if we talk about long-term investing, someone that wants to do sweeter FA, put money in, the best is to start as young as possible. Obviously, time is your friend. If you want to learn to trade, late teens and 20s can be an excellent time to start learning. And I can attest to that, because that's when I started. Not because young people are naturally better, because they have time to develop skill. So that's the time to go through all different market conditions. By the time you get to 40, you've probably seen a lot, if not all. So you've seen up, down, sideways markets, crashes. You've seen a bit of everything. Wars. Now, for active swing trading, there isn't academically anything, but the research gives us grounds for the hypothesis that the 30s through to the 50s could be a particularly favorable period, because accumulated experience can coexist with strong cognitive performance. So it's not a proven statistical age range. It's an inference, to say the least. But it also, if you're swing trading, that it requires patience. And the older you are, the more patience comes into your life, I believe. So day trading, I mean, there's no credible evidence establishing a magic starting age. And the overwhelming evidence is not age at all. It's that it's a tough way to earn from this world. And that's day trading. Intraday trading is what they're talking about. So after going through all of this, mate, I think, although it says 53, I don't think there's one perfect age to enter the market. There's actually three clocks. There's the compounding clock, there's the experience clock, and then there's the cognition clock. So if you're, you know,
yeah, I mean, to me, one of the major points highlighted in this as well is that 53 is not even too old if you wanted to start trading. If you want to start learning, you're at that stage where you've got the experience, no matter where you've got that experience from, right? You might come from an engineering background, you might come from a business background. I mean, the students that I talk to that are of a later age, they're usually from different backgrounds, but they can still apply that experience to the market somehow. You know, they can still somehow be able to have that discipline and have that kind of restrained approach not that gung-ho kind of attitude that you would when you're younger. And by learning the aspects that we're teaching, they can apply it in that disciplined way. So that for me is a huge takeaway that, hey, it's never really too late. You know, my oldest student, I'll tell you this, my oldest student was a lady. She was in her mid-80s. Mid-80s learning how to trade. This is no word of a lie. And she was excellent. Yeah, I mean, we still keep in touch. She's still doing the trading essentials with us. She sends in her analysis and so on. You know what her secret was? She told me that she kept on doing courses. She had done a course on financial planning. I think it was like 6 years before she did our course. So in her 70s.
Wow.
So, you know, there you have it. It's never too late.
No, and the study said that as long as the cognitive decline happens when you really stop. I mean, if you keep your mind active, look at some of the best hedge fund managers in the world. They're not 20. Mm-hmm. They're in their 60s and 70s. Ray Dalio, 70s. Warren Buffett, look, he was working into his 90s. Jim Simons, he started at 40. He actually started getting into the markets at 40 years old. So I think, by all the research we've done, I think 50s is the sweet spot. That's when you are physically and experience-wise at your best to give trading a go. So I'm always going to bat for the young guys because I started that way, and I think there's, you know, go. If you're young, go. Time is your advantage. Really give it a crack. But boy, if you're in your 50s and you think this is not for me or I can't, well, statistics say the exact opposite. So let's leave it on that. We'll catch you all on the next one. Thank you very much for tuning in, Pedro. Thanks for joining, man.
A pleasure. This was a good one.
Yeah, and as always, if you could please give us a 5-star review, it really helps get our message out there so we can give you more stuff like this, more content, more research, and talk all things trading. On that note, have a fantastic weekend, and we will catch you on the next one. Bye for now.
This podcast is brought to you by Wealth Within, a global leader in stock market education. For more information on our courses, head over to wealthwithin.com.au. Please note that the information in this podcast should not be considered personal financial advice.